This morning, as I indicated earlier, we want to spend some time hearing from two ministries. We have been supporting two ministries out of this country for several years, as long as I've been here, and be close to 16 years, and well before that, this church has demonstrated its generosity and its faith and its support of a ministry and church in Guyana, South America. And about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, maybe 7, we began a similar support of a ministry, some children's homes, and some work that's being done in Honduras, South America. We have always seen fit to share God's grace and God's gathering and God's gifts all over this globe. And this is, we see, I believe, it's a mandate. It is part of our being as God's people to share this message, the good news of Jesus Christ, gifts where we can, help and support and relief where we can. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, starting at verse number 6, it says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?' He replied, 'It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" And to the ends of the earth. What God has called us to do has global implications. We are to go all over the globe and be witnesses of the grace, the love, the compassion of God. We have been in a series called Building a Bigger Table. Again, that was initiated by me seeing a wall hanging in Hobby Lobby that says, when you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. And we shared about sharing God's grace. The first week, we talked about sharing God's gathering. The following week, last week, we talked about sharing God's gifts. And today, we want to focus on sharing God's globe, which is, in a way, a combination of the previous 3 weeks. As we pursue and endeavor to go all over the earth, and in this regard, we have been in Guyana and Honduras, and some of you have been to other places. Travis talked about us going around locally. It is our heart's desire to serve in whatever capacity or way that we can in order to share God's grace, his gathering, and his gifts. So what I want to do now is give way first to the team from Guyana. The Gaines family have been the rock of that ministry for so many years. They have built firm relationships with the folks in Guyana and continue to travel there almost every year. And so I'm going to give way to Greg, I believe, first. And Greg is going to come and share about the Guyana ministry. And I think Christina and Darlene will share some. And then after that, Joel Boer will come and share about the Honduras ministry. Greg.
We wanted to thank everyone for all the help that you've been over the years and the great generosity this year as we took off. And many of you have, most of you, all of you have not seen the slides that are going up this morning. This is all new. There's been a flurry of activity going on in Guyana over the last 3 or 4 months. And when we put the presentation together, it's kind of in a three-way section. It's going to be the work going into Kamaka. It's going to be the holiday party and Christmas gifts a lot of you people send each year of our family here, and then also the work going on in Blueberry Hill. So we kind of divided it up in three sections that way. Again, we appreciate everybody's generosity, and you know, everybody's been so helpful, And, you know, and over the year, and I know I can say this for Joel also, if you have any extra dollars you'd like to throw that way, we'll put them to work. The biggest thing that I can express to you and make sure that things click, and we can go ahead and run that. Biggest things that we can express to you is in Guyana, bats are like birds. I mean, bats are like flies. I mean, everywhere are bats. They're just everywhere. You know, and over the years we've been there, you know, they've been living there in a house with us as we work with Robin and Wayne and Dexter and Winifred. And, you know, they kind of moved into the attic, and we've tried many ways of trying to get him out of the attic. And, you know, and you need to ask Brother Dean. Dean has a little thing he does with his hand and his face and his smile that describes a bat. You need to ask him to do it. It's hilarious. You can't stop laughing. But I was sitting there with Dexter when Dexter and Winifred were there, and I was sitting in the living room, and a bat flew in the living room. And I mean, it was going back and forth like a hummingbird. It was flying so fast. And Dexter said, he jumped up and he said, "I'll get that bat." I said, "You're not going to get that bat. That thing is flying like 900 miles an hour." He picked up broom handle and with one swing, knocked that bat clear out of the air. Knocked him clear to the ground, and out the door he went. And so, you know, a lot of the work that we're redoing the last 3 or 4 months is redoing the property, making it a little bit better, and rebuilding a lot of things that have been there. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an overview of what the presentation is showing.
We're going to let you look at the slides first. We wanted to show you the slides, and then we'll try to explain. On the river, things, you know, the water dilapidates a lot of the houses a little faster. Even though we had a good house, the wood over the last 25 years has taken its toll. So the bats were in the attic, and the dust would come down. The iguana dust would just be awful for them. They would put plastic to try to keep it up there, and it was just getting really bad. Then they started having some rats. So we finally, when we went down in August, we assessed everything and gave them permission to tear the old house down. The old house was built from a lumberjack guy years ago, and it had very good wood. But, like I said, some of it was starting to take its toll. So they used a lot of it, probably 3/4 of what was there was still good enough to use to make the second house. They're about finished with that, and they've, you know, moved in there. The old structure that had the bottom was cement with more cement. So we're going to go ahead and build a second small house that they can use for like Sunday school and you know, meetings and teachings, people coming through, that kind of thing. They are putting some of their own money in it, but they're about gone with that, and we put as much in it as we can. So that was one of the things that if you have money in the next half year or so and you'd be willing to give them any, they would be so grateful for it. We wanted to let you know, too, that there are some hopes that have never been there before in the last 35 years, because Christina was like 12, I think, when I started taking her. And we were in Linden area for like maybe 15 or so and started a bunch of churches there, but the Kamaka one was Brother Jim Ely got Greg hooked up with someone to give money to pay for the Kamaka church. So once we got that, I mean, since then, they have had no communication. A lot of the land is landlocked. People are moving out. Their kids are moving out. So I suspect that some of them shall be coming back because they have land to maybe, you know, help build up the town again eventually, because there are some roadways that are coming through that have never been there before, and you have to go that way to get into the mine to do like the gold mine or diamond mines, and that's where everybody has their jobs, and they're gone for a month or two at a time, and then they come back. And also satellites are starting to come in, so that I suspect they'd be able to get some education programs and things eventually, It hasn't quite got all of it up yet, and the roads aren't all done yet, but it's a lot of hope for the communities up and down the river that were never there before. So we just wanted to share that with you. And like I said, we have been going for like 35 years, and Kamaka wants to express their appreciation. So do all the other churches. We used to be having to have somebody ask us to come to the country before you could get in. You had to have visas. After 15, 20 years, they lifted that. But we used to be the only Church of Christ, and the Catholic Church used to be the only ones there. So we have, you know, with your help, we have helped them to spread the gospel for the Church of Christ down there. And we wanted you to know how much you guys have meant to the work for the people down there. We helped build approximately 7 churches in South America from Reynoldsburg. So I think you can be proud of that. I wanted to let you know, too, that Sheldon and Wayne kind of work together a little bit, even though Sheldon's clear over on the other side. They take their youth, and they do work like you saw up here with their copy and Dion on taking the youth and helping build up older people's homes that can't afford it, because they all live mostly on stilts and stuff, and it decays after a while. So they build the porches or the house floors, whatever they can do for the older people, as well as, you know, helping feed them and visitations. And they still do their, when we started the church camps and everything, and visitation up and down the river. Like I said, there's an Amorite Indian village that we used to go to when Daisy went. And we went there a few times. And they've got a church there now, as well as Dora. And theirs is still working. So Dexter was down because his mother died. And he was there for a week. And he gave us a report. And I wanted Christina to share that report with you.
She went over out of it. But if you guys don't remember, when we started going down, Dexter was a young man, and through our courses, he went to school, and then after he got through Bible school, then he actually sent 2 young men to Bible school, one of them being Sheldon, and so now Sheldon's taking over at our church there in Linden, and Sheldon's been taking the youth, like Mom said, out doing all kinds of wonderful things for the older people in the community, and then they've also been doing stuff out in Kamako too. So I just wanted to reiterate that. I was give you guys a little background for the people who didn't know. Okay, so I'm going to read this, and I'm going to try to read it quickly. I'm not the best reader. It's this is from Dexter, and he said, the church in Guyana has grown tremendously over the past 1.5 decades. Not sure of the total members of the church, but is well known and established in the town of Linden, it's attracting more people from all walks of life. The Amelia Ward's Church, was a product of a campaign currently from one of the Linden areas, is now one of the largest churches around the area. It has a huge church building. They've got new washrooms, and we did visit this while we were down there. Washrooms, a big auditorium. They have 2 buses that do transportation, taking people over and around. It says, then Guyana is well known throughout the whole community for the Church of Christ there in the town. And the Berman Drive Church of Christ is where we met Dexter, is now in the process of building a bigger church and taking the little shanty church and doing a nice big building now. And it says that many people have been starting to do like VBSs, and at the very end, I'm going to skip that part. Dexter was talking about how we started our first Ladies Inspiration Day, and it has now grown to ladies classes and VBS, church camp, and how they're doing that kind of stuff there all the time now with all the different churches. And that the kids that were there and were taught are still in the church and raising their children in the church. So he wanted to commend us for helping all these years try to help Guyana and all his people. And then he goes on to talk about the Christmas. Lots of Christmas attendance and the memorial service, the night of the funeral. I was impressed by the saints and the faithful and strong in the Christ. That's pretty much it. Thank you. Yeah. I summed it up pretty good. If you guys want to read it, though, it's like a whole two-page in-depth thing on everything that's happened. Okay?
Well, like the Lord has said, he's the Alpha and Omega, the Aleph, the Taf. He's got the first word, he's got the last. And especially I know in this place, he's got something big in store for them before it's done. So we just want to thank all the Reynoldsburg people throughout the years that have done so much in spreading the gospel over this globe. I know that we've went other places too, and it's been wonderful. But the people down there wanted to say how grateful they are.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Is there a clicker, slide advance, or? All right, you got it. All right, so I want to share with you about a couple exciting things going on down in Honduras. You know, it's been several years since Reynoldsburg sent a team down there, but there's some couple really exciting things to share. Those are the Didasco Children's Home and the Santa Ana Church of Christ. Okay, Didasco. This is a home that we spent a couple days at when we were on our visit in 2013. And they have children of all ages there, and I'll give you some updates as we go through this. This is a pretty recent picture of the kids there. They're all looking pretty energetic, except for the girl kind of in the middle in the blue shirt. She didn't look like she was quite up for the picture. Okay, so Didasco was established quite a few years ago, and it's in a rural setting about 20 miles outside the capital city. To find the place, you get off the main highway, and then I just think of it as you just keep turning right until the roads get, you know, less and less, and once you think that you're driving on an old creek bed, then you're there. It is a Christian home for abandoned and abused children or children in bad circumstances. Recently, they added, in the last 2 months, they've added about 10 new kids to get back up to what the optimal level, which is about 35 kids. Children and teens of all ages, they try to bring in younger children so that way they can really teach them, you know, the ways of the Lord, raise them up in the ways of the Lord from a young age. You know, it's a lot harder when a kid comes in and they're 13, 14, 15 years old to overcome the dark influences of the world. The majority of the kids live there their whole childhood once they arrive. There is no government support and fairly modest support from the U.S. There's about 5 American churches, including Reynoldsburg, that provide support for Didasco. There's an on-site school that's now up to the 9th grade. They continue to grow the school. And it's also an outreach to the community. So there's the Didasco kids go there, but then really there's probably 50 or more kids from the villages and, you know, houses nearby that also go to the school. Of course, it's a Christian school. And as we're going to see as we go through this, it's a strong Christian environment where they are really trying to teach these young people to become disciples of Jesus. Okay, so Jorge and Rosa Castillo, they are the directors. Many of you remember Jorge and their daughter Michelle. Jorge and Michelle came here in September of 2016 as they were visiting several of the churches that provide support in the U.S. Jorge and Rosa have been there for at least 20 years, probably more. They continue to just be very energetic for this ministry. Jorge said, I talked to him a few days ago, and he said it's a privilege that we've been able to bring in 10 more kids to the Didasco home. And Michelle, their oldest daughter, she lives there also, and she's really committed to continuing this work with her father and mother. Up at the top, you can kind of see the layout. This is from the Castillo's house. Over to the left, has this got a laser? Yeah, there we go. There's the girls' house. This is the playground area. This is visitor house, and then the boys' house, and the kitchen is over here behind these trees with the big open play area in the middle. And by the way, Jorge just says thank you so much to all of you and for all the support that we've provided and all the prayers and all the interest in this ministry to the children, and likewise I thank you as well. These are some of the sibling groups that, you know, the natural born sibling groups that live there. Diana and Kenneth and I can't remember his name. Amanda, Tatiana, Nayeli, Victor, three sisters and a brother. Three sisters here, and then Genesis and Fernando, I believe. So just to highlight, you know, maybe this group right here, some of the kids, you know, they're in the home because their parents can't take care of them, or, you know, even some come for a short period of time. But those four are truly orphans. There's no sign of any family anywhere. They've never been visited. So truly some of the kids are really orphans that live in the home. So an exciting thing that's happened in 2017 is 3 days a week, the kids walk about half a mile to a mile down to the nearby village and go to church. Tuesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And so they've had a discipling class this year for the youth. And these boys are all live in Dadasco, and these, as do all these girls down here. And so after going through the discipling class, they were all baptized in the summer. So there's Manuel and Jasmine being baptized, you know, two of about 10 of them that were baptized. Okay, so I wanna focus on one kid who lives there. Her name's Esther, and that's Esther and her brother Emiliano. They, like the four that I just talked about, they are really orphans as well. Nobody's ever visited them. Jorge's tried to find signs of family, but can't really find anybody who's blood relatives of them. So some of the Dadasco kids, not most of them, but some of them are candidates to go to college. 4 years in college in Honduras, you know, costs around $10,000 plus or minus. And Esther is entering her last year of high school, and she would like to become a nurse. So like elsewhere in the world, I mean, education in Honduras really opens tremendous opportunities to advance out of poverty. And so Jorge and myself and a lady from a church in Indianapolis have started discussing amongst the churches that support Dadasco if there's an interest in helping Esther go to college and be able to have that opportunity. So there is a Facebook page for the Dadasco Children's Home, if you're interested. It's Hogar de Niños Dadasco, Home of Children Dadasco. And so then you can get a lot more about what's going on. And Michelle will post pictures on the kids' birthdays and other events that are going on, so you can kind of stay connected with it. So overall, things are going pretty well at Dadasco, and I wanted to share that with you. I want to share something else that's going fairly well as well, which is the Church of Christ, or the Iglesia de Cristo in Santa Ana. Santa Ana is the village where our team stayed and other teams used to stay, and when we visited there in 2013, it's also where Karen and Dorian lived when they were ministering to children in Honduras as well. And so there is a church there. Likewise, they have a Facebook page, Iglesia de Cristo en Santa Ana. And the church has really been re-energized, let's say, in the last year or so because of the new pastors, ministers that they have. So the pastors are Dennis and Eduardo, and this is Marta, that's Dennis's wife. And by the way, Darlene has been to Honduras as well, and Marta considers Darlene like her long-lost mom. It was amazing to see. So Dennis and Marta are just very, very in love with the Lord. This is their family with their three kids. And Eduardo is younger. He's an interesting story. I mean, we've known him for a long time, but he was falling as a teenager and maybe young adult into the influences of the gangs and everything bad down there. And God woke him up, and he came to his senses and went to preaching school, and now he is a very energetic preacher for the church down there. So good things are happening. There's an American lady named Gail Davidson who lives there, and she attends the church, and she works with a clinic that's there. And she describes them as they never stop working. Fired up, you know, servants of God. So this is periodically they go out in the community and do evangelism, and they've had at least four baptisms since September of 2017. There's also a youth group. When our team went there in 2013, our youth, well, our whole team, but you know, it was the gringos against the Honduran youth group playing soccer, and we went out to a restaurant, and so their youth group still meets once a week or more. And just recently, on January 25th, they had another baptism. Eduardo was studying with this young lady, Frances, for hours, and she gave her life to the Lord. So good things are going on in the church now. So, you know, I know that, first of all, thank you so much for the support of Honduras that you have done and you continue to do. And there are so many good things that we can do to support God's kingdom locally, internationally, wherever. But if you're interested in supporting God's kingdom in Honduras, we've got three kind of diverse things for you to consider, whatever, you know, maybe on your heart. First of all, if supporting the orphans is something that you're interested in, then, you know, it takes a lot of money to raise 35 children there, just like it does here. So support for Dadasco would be wonderful. Number two, if you want to maybe help one young lady go even farther, then in a year from now, approximately, is when Esther will be starting college, God willing. And so perhaps you can provide some support for that. And then third, if your passion is taking the gospel to the people and growing God's kingdom amongst the people, then it would be great if we could provide some support for the ministers at the Santa Ana Church. Of course, Santa Ana, it's a quite a poor village. Folks who come to church have very, very little money, and so, you know, they might only raise a few dollars on Sunday, and so, you know, that means that it's a struggle for Eduardo and Dennis and their family. So if we could, you know, provide some support for them to take some of the sting off of that, it would really help them in their work. So I will, coming up in, you know, one of the upcoming weeks, I'll give a summary in the bulletin of the things we've talked about. And if you're interested in supporting any of these, please let me know. You know, maybe a nominal number would be $25 or $35 a month, or whatever you can do, whether on an ongoing basis or one time. Then the last thing, I guess, is if anybody would be interested in going to Honduras on a mission trip sometime, please let me know that as well, and maybe we can arrange that. So thanks a lot. I'm going to turn it back over to Dion. He might have some closing thoughts for us. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks. Let's give Joel a hand. Thanks. Joe Boer, Gaines family, Darlene, Christina, Gray, thank you so much for what you do, for having a heart for God and having a heart for the gospel here in the local community, but also abroad. It is your work and your dedication. It is a demonstration of your faith and commitment to God and the gospel all over the world. And there's so much more that you can learn about both of these communities that wasn't covered here. So I would encourage you, if your interests have been piqued in either of these areas, please seek out Greg, Darlene, Christina, and Joel, and Barb, and those who have gone to Honduras, those who have gone to Guyana. Several people here have gone to Guyana. If you've gone to Guyana before, go ahead and raise your hand. So several people here have gone to Guyana. If you've gone to Honduras, raise your hand. So several people have gone to Honduras. You know, seek these people out and talk to them about the experience. And one of the blessings that we are simply trying to extend to the rest of the world flows out of an understanding, again, that we here in this country, in our community, have been so richly blessed. We right now we're in a building that needs some help in some areas, but man, we're richly blessed. Like, I know some of us are like, man, it's chilly. I mean, all I do is go over there and tap on the button and then everyone's saying, man, it's too hot. But it's first world problems, isn't it? Where we can complain about whether it's too hot or too cold, and then we just press a button and we relieve that. When you're talking about Honduras and Guyana, particularly those two communities, you're talking about situations where they live in extreme poverty. And yet, when you look at those pictures, you see smiles, you see happiness, you see community. And I think that as much as we are going to Honduras and Guyana to take the gospel and to take good news, we often come back from those communities with some good news ourselves, don't we? Because we see some folks living in these extreme situations, but still possessing the joy of the Lord. Let's be mindful of all that we have. Let's take inventory of all that we have. And I'm sure that we will walk away and say, man, we have more than we need. And when we determine that, let's build a longer table. And let's invite people to that table. Let's invite people to that table. People that don't look like us, people that don't make as much money than us, or people that make more money than us. People who don't believe like us. We need to build a longer table and invite people to that table. And let's tear down these fences. Let's stop trying to hoard all our stuff and keep it to ourselves. Let's become a community of God that shares. We share God's grace. We share God's gathering. We share God's gifts. And we share God's globe. Is that all right, church? At this time, praise team will come forward. We'll sing a final song. During that song, there's something that we can provide for you by way of ministry through prayer or connection. If there's something you want to share with the body of Christ, we want to welcome those requests. If you want to give your life to the Lord this morning, profess Jesus, be baptized in Jesus Christ, we'll do that. We will be happy to do that. So let's stand and let's sing together.